Hi, and welcome to the Calvary Foursquare podcast. Our goal at Calvary is to reach our community with the truth and love of Jesus. In 1 Thessalonians 2:8, it says that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. So if you would like to find out more of who we are, you can go to our new website at TiptonCalvaryFoursquare.com or search for us on Facebook. Just search Tipton Calvary Foursquare. Thank you for listening and enjoy the podcast.
Message is a doozy. It's been a good wrestle this week. I was really like set on something that I really wanted to focus on, and I could tell that God was just kind of like wrestling with me with it, just saying like, yeah, you can do that, but there's something else. There's something else I want you to work on. And it's kind of like a parent where it's like, yeah, you can do this, but you have chores to do. And so, like, yeah, that's you know, you can have that fun stuff, but make sure you do this first. And so, like, as the week goes on, you know, I'm continuing doing my stuff, and I'm still feeling this wrestling from God, like, I need to pray about this, I need to work on this. And so then, finally, last night, God was like, okay, I gave you your time, now it's time to actually work on your message a little bit. I was like, ah, geez, all right. And so, last night, I just basically just clean-swiped everything, and just began really focusing on what God wanted me to talk about, what God really had placed on my heart for this time and season. And today is titled, Come and See. And what we're going to be learning about is how David and Jesus both had lived different lives so that people can come and see Jesus, or can come and see God in a new light. And so to kind of get us started off, we all have times where people invite us to certain things, whether it's going to events, family gatherings, to a friend's house, or to, like, just anywhere. But it honestly, like, when we get invited to something, it really depends more on who invites us rather than what the event is, right? Like, for example, if my friends growing up told me, like, let's go to Walmart, that's going to be fun because we're going to mess around and have fun. But if my parents ask me to go to Walmart, I know it's a chore because I'm going to have to go start running for some of the supplies. I'm not going to lie. When me and my mom, when I was in middle school, when we went to go get groceries, we were fast. Like, we got to a point where I knew exactly what we needed, and she would send me out while she's getting her stuff, like, cooked. She's like, all right, I need you to get the bread. I need you to get the cereal. I need you to get the milk. I need you to get the meat, like, the essentials, right? The stuff that never changes every week. So I would go, and I would run through the store was Fairway at the time. And I would just grab one thing at a time that we would need. And then she would now be asking, what's next? What's next? Like, let's go. Let's keep this going. Like, I don't want to be here. But then, yeah, we'll be honest. Neither of us wanted to be there. But that's fine. We had to do it, and we got through it. But when it comes to us being invited to things, when it comes to, like, family gatherings, or when it comes to certain events in our life, it really depends more on who's going to be there rather than what we're doing, right? Like, it just depends on who's in our surroundings, who are the people there, that, how do they treat us, how do they view other people, how do they, because we worry about that. We worry about how we're going to be, how we are going to be relationally. How are we going to be if we go to this place? Are we going to end up being refreshed? Are we going to be exhausted? Are we going to be, you know, do I feel like I'm going to be under a microscope the whole time? Like, every little thing I do, am I going to get watched, or am I going to actually feel free to do what I want there? And so, especially in today's culture, with our current, like, youth and our current way of society, we have a massive FOMO, which is fear of missing out, where we always want to be at the same place as everyone else. We want to go to the most fun areas. We want to go to the most exciting things and be present with our friends and family all the time because we don't want to miss out on all these great things. And so because of that, and because of this FOMO and fear of missing out and this constant, like, seeing what everyone else is doing, the loneliness rate has been higher than any other in this current generation. There was a recent statistic from the Dave Knee Foundation, which specifically focuses on depression and loneliness throughout the entire country, that this past year, in 2019, 9% of school students have tried committing suicide. 9%. And that's because of loneliness, that's because of bulliness, and because of how they were treated by their surroundings. It was because of how much they had fear of missing out on something that they just felt so lonely that they couldn't handle it anymore. And that is, to me, when I read that statistic and I saw that, that was a call, that was a mission. Because a lot of these kids, they're missing out on something, they're missing out on a lot, but what they think they're missing out on is all the events, but really what they're missing is God. Really, that missing void that they have in their life, they think it's these events, it's feeling good about ourselves by people's approval, by going to all these things, by having this perfect life, but really it all starts with God, right? Because God created us to, in the beginning, when God created humanity, he created us to have a relationship with him. That was the desire, that was the core of who we are. And so when we don't have that, we have that missing gap and we try to fill it. But a lot of these kids and a lot of these people that are around us have no idea of church, have no idea about Jesus, so they try to find it in the most practical way that they can. Not saying that they hate God, but they just don't understand yet. And so when it comes to us, and I preached, and this is kind of where this is a lot of this is coming from, is that last time I spoke, I talked a lot, and I really focused on the point that towards the end, it wasn't the main point, but it was towards the end, that we are the closest representation of Jesus to those around us. I didn't really like go too deep into it, and I knew that was something God's been stirring in me, and that's been a very common message in what I've been saying in youth group and what I've been saying here, is that we are, to some people, the closest thing to church that people are ever going to have. So how are we representing God in our communities? How are we representing Jesus to those around us? And the first place I'm going to go is, and the first thing I kind of want like talk about is when kindness is crazy. Because let's be honest, we all have people in our life, we all have people at work that we absolutely do not want to be around. We absolutely have people at school that we just don't, that we're afraid of, that we're being bullied from, and that we just can't stand. And so my first verse, I would have them up here, but like I said, I worked on this message last night, so I didn't have enough time to put it all in. So you're just going to have to listen for when I start speaking about in the Bible. But I'm going to be talking about David. David with his relationship with Saul. And so I'm going to go ahead and start out in 1 Samuel 18 when Saul begins to resent David. And this will be 1 through 9. Now when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Saul took him that day and would not let him go to his father's house anymore. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. Joel took off the robe and was on him and gave it to David, with his armor, even to his sword and his bow and his belt. So David went out wherever Saul sent him and behaved wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. Now it had happened as they were coming home, when David was returning from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women had come out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with the tambourines, with joy and musical instruments. So women sang as they danced and said, "Saul has slain his thousands and David tens of thousands." Then Saul was very angry, and the saying displeased him. And he said, "They have ascribed to David 10,000, and to me they have ascribed only thousands. Now what more can he have but the kingdom?" So Saul eyed David from that day forward. So David is now the favorite, right? David is the preferred one of the two. People see David as this person that has slain tens of thousands. And Saul begins to see that, and Saul begins to resent David. So much so that just a few verses later, as David was playing music towards Saul, Saul threw spears at him, right? He tried killing David, right? And so then after that, about 20 verses after that, in 26 through 30, Saul kicks out David with his followers. He says, "I don't want you in this kingdom anymore. Like, I'm going to kill you if you are here." And so now, David, when we look at him and we look at his life, at the beginning, I mean, he was just a shepherd, right? when they were looking for a king, when they were looking for the next king of Israel at the time, when they went to his father's house, they had every other brother in the line waiting to be seen and waiting to be checked. And Saul, at this time, when he was king, he was this picture perfect of a king, very tall, handsome. Everyone said, that's the king that we want. That's the person that we want. And David was just the average, you know, Joe. He was the shepherd. And so when they were even considering, you know, who's that person that's going to be the next king? Who's going to be the next follower? They finally, when they finally saw David, he was a shepherd. He was caring for his family sheep. He was doing what he was called to do originally. And so when he was a servant to his dad, when he was with the sheep, he was just doing what was asked of him. He was just doing what his father called him to do. And he was obedient to God throughout the entire rest of the way. I mean, we know, most of us know the story of David and Goliath and how he had the faith and trust in God that he was going to defeat Goliath with just the stones and his little sling versus using Saul's armor and Saul's sword. One thing that I thought was really interesting when I was reading that story of David and Goliath is when David picked up the stones, he picked up five of them specifically. And it wasn't because he thought he needed more than one shot. He believed that he only needed one shot. But he needed one shot not just for Goliath, but for Goliath's siblings as well. So he knew God gave him a different perspective. He gave him, no, yeah, you're going to conquer this one big thing, everyone's going to love it, but in reality, I have other big things that I want you to conquer as well, and here's the ammunition that you need for it. And throughout the rest of 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel, you'll see that God continued to provide for David through all of it. And so when we are living through our lives and when we are going through our daily lives, how are we trusting in God in our process? How are we trusting in God to provide for us, to give us the five stones that we need instead of just grabbing Saul's armor and saying, well, this will work for now. This will work for me. This, I mean, yeah, it doesn't fit quite right, but I know what a sword does and I'm comfortable with that, so I'm going to use that versus, no, God's calling you to use this stone. God's calling you to use this and live a different life than normal, than what other people expect. And so when when David then gets kicked out because, you know, Saul's trying to kill him, whatever, he has his 1,000 followers, and God still continues to provide for him after that. They were still defending, you know, Israel. They were still killing Philistines, but God was still able to provide around them, so much so that in 1 Samuel 24, 1 through 11, here, I'll go ahead and go towards that. See, there we go, where this is where David spared Saul's life, where Saul was on the hunt for David. He wanted to kill David because of his jealousy. He wanted to kill David because everyone loved him and not himself, and everyone loved David but not Saul. Now, this will be verses 1 through 11. Now, when it had happened, when Saul had returned from following the Philistines, that it was told to him, saying, take note, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men from all Israel and went to seek David and his men on the rocks of the wild goats. So he came to the sheepfolds by the road where there was a cave. And Saul went in to attend to his needs. David and his men were staying in the recesses of the cave. Then the men of David said to him, this is the day of which the Lord has said to you, behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, that you may do to him as it seems good to you. And David arose and secretly cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Now that it happened afterward that David's heart troubled him because he had cut off Saul's robe. And he has said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing that he is anointed of the Lord. So David has restrained his servants, and with these words, and did not allow them to rise against Saul. And Saul got up from the cave and went on his way. David also arose afterwards and out of the cave and called to Saul, saying, my lord the king. And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed down. And David said to Saul, why do you listen to the words of men who say, Indeed, David seeks your harm. Look, this day your eyes have seen that the Lord has delivered you today into my hand in the cave, and someone urged me to kill you. But my eye spared you, and I said, I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Oh, one more verse. Moreover, my father, see the corner of your robe in my hand, for in that I cut off the corner of the robe and did not kill you. Know and see that there's neither evil nor rebellion in my hand, and I have not sinned against you, yet you hunt my life to take it. So now, not only has David been obedient to God, God has provided for him. God gave him a perfect opportunity, or it seems like God gave him a perfect opportunity to kill Saul, to kill the person that's trying to kill him. But David, because of his relationship with God, because he had a different perspective of what's actually going on, he didn't listen to his followers. He didn't listen to those around him. He didn't take the opportunity that would have been very easy for him to just kill him. He recognized that, you know, even though Saul has done all these horrible things and has been trying to kill me, he is still God's anointed. He is still God's chosen one. And he just took off the robe as a symbol for Saul to say, hey, I could have done this to you, but I chose not to. I chose to respect you and love you instead. And for us, when it comes to those around us at work, when it comes to those around us at home, we all have opportunities, it seems like, right, to seek revenge, to seek time to where we can just get back at them. And so, but when we begin to live that closeness to God, we begin to see the bigger picture of what God has for us, that moment of revenge, that moment of tearing someone down and just, you know, belittling someone just doesn't seem right. It just doesn't seem like it's even worth it, because like what David said in this is that he saw God's love for Saul. He still understood that he was under an anointing from God, that he still had a purpose to play. And so if he was going to kill Saul, and if he was going to give into that temptation, he would have been no better than what Saul was trying to do this whole time. And so when we are called to be the light, and when we are called to be more like Jesus, and we're called to live different lives, then we need to act different than those around us and try not to seek those little moments of revenge, because we have a bigger picture in mind. to kind of go off of that, in high school, I was a Sunday school teacher. I wasn't the greatest. There was one day where I was teaching, it was the fourth grade, fifth grade, and sixth grade, and they kind of just got on my nerves just a little bit. And so what I did is halfway through, I said, all right, we're done. We're going to play the game. Like, we're not learning anything clearly. We're just going to play a game, just because I'm just that over it. Like, okay, sweet, let's go play a game. So I took them out into this, like, really big sanctuary that's made for our kids, and I had them line up on a wall. And they're like, okay, like, what's going on? And then I gave them each a blindfold. And they put it on, like, okay. And I'm like, all right, so this is what's going to happen. You're going to have to trust my voice like you have to trust Jesus' voice when he calls you to do something. So when I tell you to duck, I need you to duck. And I had a ball in my hand. Yeah, you see where this is going. So I would just throw it and say duck just a little too late. Just a little bit. And so that was me seeking revenge on them. That wasn't really fair. But the youth pastor at the time, he walked in, and I got caught red-handed. Like, he saw exactly what was happening. He joined in. It was great. But, because none of them got hurt too bad, it was fine. It ended up being great. The kids, you know, now a few, like, years later, they still give me a hard time about it. Like, you blindfolded us and you threw dodgeballs at us. I'm like, yeah, you deserved it. Like, what do you, like, but no, like, we shouldn't be seeking revenge. We shouldn't be, even when we're irritated, even when little things get to us, we need to act differently. We need to be separate. When David was called to be a king, it wasn't because he was special or anything significant. It's because of his relationship with God, and he had a different perspective than everyone around him. And so when it comes to us, to live a life for God, and when we begin to grow our relationship, one of the things that I taught our youth students is, what are you doing today? What are you doing tomorrow? What are you doing this week? Because every little step counts as growth. If you've never prayed before, pray in your head. Pray when you're driving, or pray wherever you have time where you're just by yourself, and that will slowly begin to grow into something more. But it all takes with a small step. And so for us, what does that look like? What does it look like for us? Because I know everyone has jobs. Everyone has, you know, families and time commitment, and we all have crazy schedules. So where's that 2-minute window? Where's that 5-minute window for you to just start something small? You know, we have technology today, which is amazing, and we have this YouVersion Bible app that I absolutely love because it gives you a devotional plan based on stuff that you want to learn specifically from God or based on what you're hearing from God. And it honestly takes me like 5 minutes to read because it's not even a full chapter. It's like a half chapter. So when I'm like on the go and I don't have enough time to read, I just can set myself aside for 5 minutes, read the scripture, and then read the lesson that comes with it. And I just, my mind is now focused on God. Like, it's so crazy how just like that 5 minutes just changes my entire day. And it just kind of changes my focus and like gives me a better perspective of what I need to do, what the people that I'm around, how am I going to treat those around me. So when we live a life for God, when we live and begin to live separately like David, we begin to have a better perspective. We begin to have a better discretion of those around us. And so, now I'm not even going to go there anymore. Jesus, you know, he lived a different life than what everyone expected, right? Not only did he live differently than the Pharisees or than the other religious leaders at the time, but he did amazing things in the process because of his relationship with God. He always drew close to God. He always knew what God wanted him to do. And that wasn't just because of his, you know, he was like this all-knowing, he was a part of the Trinity, all that. No, he was a human being at that time because he wanted to give us an example of who we can potentially be here on earth. And so when he lived his different life, and when he began being obedient to the Holy Spirit and what God's calling to do, he began performing miracles. The way that he taught was in timeless parables that are still relevant today. He just had a different essence about himself that drew people closer. And one of the really cool things about that, and one of the really cool things that when Jesus was doing all of these things is that his different life, and it's like similar to David, because he lived differently, because he was outside of the norm, people were drawn to that. People noticed that. And so when you look through the New Testament, when you look through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you see, you know, you see his followers and the people that are always around him, what they are always saying when people ask them about Jesus is, come and see. Because experience is way different than explanation. Because when you are here on church on Sunday, it is way different than when someone was first trying to tell you what it's like, right? Like, yeah, we have some worship songs. We have a really good message. We have a really good, you know, youth pastor. You know, he's really cool and everything. No, I'm just, sorry. no, I was just having fun with that. But anyway, but when we talk about it, it is way different than experiencing it. And that's what a lot of these, you know, disciples, what these followers really understood is, we can explain it to you. We can give you our testimony. We can give you a personal experience, but you have to come and see for yourself. You have to see the difference. You have to actually be there to realize, man, that time with God during worship was really something else. That peace that I felt inside of my heart, that peace I felt inside of my body, I had no cares for like 30 minutes, and it was just refreshing, and it was just relaxing. But how do you explain that to someone that's never been to church before? And so that's why it's always, our testimonies are key, and our testimonies are vital, and I believe that they are really what bring people in. But you always have to have that invitation to just say, come and see, because I can't just be telling you everything and then you have no idea. Because, and think about it this way, like, would you rather be told how a movie goes or watch it for yourself, right? Like, I remember in fifth grade, the new Pirates of the Caribbean, the third movie came out. And sorry, this is going to spoil it, but one of the main characters dies in the movie, and one of my friends saw it, like, the very first night it went out on midnight on a Thursday night. And so, like, he was gloating about it, you know, during lunch the next day. And I was going to see it with my family that Friday night. And he, like, just couldn't contain himself. He was just like, oh, yeah, blah, 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 died. And I was just like, like, thanks. Yeah, thanks, Nate. You're great. But, man, I was so disappointed about that. But, like, when it comes to us watching or being here, it's a different experience than just trying to share it. And so, yes, sharing it is important. Yes, sharing it is great, and that's what we need to do. But let's share it the way that David and Jesus shared in their lives. They lived a different life. They lived a life that was focused on their relationship. And when you begin to focus on your relationship with God and focus on how you are treating those around you, people begin to see you act differently. People begin to see you happier, and they'll notice that change and just be like, what's going on? no, why, like, I see that your mood's been up lately. Why, like, what's changing? What is it that you have? Because, in honesty, we all want that. We all want to have those moral boosters. That's why we all take, you know, those, like, healthy, like, I don't know, like, salad meal plans or going to the gym all the time or whatever it is, because we want to feel better about ourselves. That's why we try to eat healthier, because we always try to find ways to make ourselves feel better. And when you see someone, like, visually feeling better, you want to ask them, like, what are you doing? Like, what's your secret? And then that is your opportunity to say, come and see. Come and see what church is like. Come and see what worship is like in being in the presence of God, because it's absolutely refreshing. And from there, and just from how simple, like, it sounds simple, but it's also really intimidating. Like, I 100% am horrible at when it comes to inviting people, because I get really nervous and then I start talking a lot, like I am right now. But then I'm just like, oh, I blew it. But no, you never blow it, because you had a chance. You had an opportunity. Because remember, you are the closest representation to Jesus that some of these people have ever experienced and will ever experience. And I want you to think about it this way. People are an opportunity, not an interruption. When we are in our lives, when we are at work and we have a million things to do, when we have kids and we're trying to run them to all these places, and someone comes up to you and asks you what's been new and what's been going on, that is an opportunity, not an interruption of your daily life. Because remember, when you are drawing close to God, you have a different perspective of what life really is. When you are kingdom focused, you understand those opportunities, and you are not saying, oh my gosh, you know, I have to stand here and talk to them for 5 minutes, and now I'm going to be late to this next thing, and you know what, just, it's good, bye, and then you just leave. No, that's like God giving you a silver platter, and you just went, nah, I'm good, like a little kid with veggies. Yeah, someone got that. But people are such an opportunity, and we need to realize that when we go to work, when we go school, when we go wherever we're at in our daily lives. Because even if we have souls in our life like David, people that just want to absolutely kill us, or we act like they absolutely want to kill us, that is an opportunity. Because look what David did. David could have killed him. David could have just been done with it and just said, you know what, we're done. But no, he had a different perspective. He understood that God had a bigger picture, God had a bigger plan, and look what happened because of that. Because of his obedience, because of that different perspective that God has given him through the relationship that he had with him. So when we go into our daily lives and when we go into our communities, what is your opportunity? Not just with people, but with your own relationship with God. Because remember, every small step counts. If you have never prayed before, okay. Sorry, this might seem a little off, but I thought it was pretty funny when I said it at youth group. Oh, man. I'm going to have to build this up a little bit. So this was for the entertainment of the kids and to really get them to understand that they do have time to pray. Jeez. I shouldn't have said this. But anyway, I said, pray while you poop, because there's no one around you during that time. At least I hope not, right? That is a time where you are always by yourself, I hope. And so that is a perfect opportunity for you to take time and just talk to God. God doesn't care. He made you. He knew exactly what he was doing. And so if you can't think of a time for you to go and pray, everybody poops. So just put that out there. Dang it, Rick. I knew he would like that one.
I've never seen anything like that.
Oh, jeez. And think about it this way. Wherever you are at in life, when people see you in your communities, they know that you go to church. They know you have a relationship with God wherever it's at. And when they see you like that, they know that you have more experience in that area and they want to learn from you. And so Reggie Joyner, the guy that is ahead of the Orange Program, the curriculum that we've been using for the Children's Church and for Youth Set Best this way. When someone with more experience than you tells you of your potential, you begin to believe in the process. So So when you go into your community and you talk about God and you come and see and you help guide them and you tell them the potential that they have of becoming a follower of God, then they themselves will begin to believe that they can do it. Because I know in my life, I had an amazing youth pastor, I had an amazing pastor in my life that believed in the potential that I had. And because they believed, that gave me extra courage to believe. Even when I messed up, even when I did something completely off the wall stupid, because hey, we were all kids at one point, we made mistakes, they still believed in the process and still reminded me of my potential. So when you have an opportunity to reach someone, when you have an opportunity to talk about it, make it personal. Make it to where this person understands that when they come and see, they're coming and seeing something authentic. Because that's all that God is, right? God is an authentic God that just wants us to be real and wants us to be open. And so when we have that experience, let's be honest, it's really hard to explain. But when you begin to live that life and when you begin to understand that bigger picture, you'll have a light inside of you that people will be drawn to. That's what happened to David. That's what happened to Jesus. That's what happened to Paul. That's what happened to every person in the Bible. And that's how they got their followers, is because of that light that was inside of them. It was because of that relationship that they had. And all they had to say was, come and see. Come and see Jesus. Come and see church. Come and see what it's like. It's intimidating. And I know for those introverts out there, this is the absolute last thing you want to hear. But we all have a calling. We all have a purpose to play in this church and in this community. And so we need to be intentional on that, and we need to take that as our own goal and as our own job, that we are placed in an environment that God has put us in on purpose, that we all have a plan and we all have a calling, and we need to take that seriously. It's easy to say, it's harder to do. I understand that. But when we begin to live that different life, when we begin to live that different perspective, you begin to see those opportunities and not as interruptions. You know those times where you come to church, and I tell this to my youth students all the time, where our personal relationships just kind of get stuck, where you feel like you're not really moving with God. It's just been kind of a struggle. During youth group, I always make a key point during camps and during these high moments that they have with God, whether it's at camp or here during ministry, whenever it is, I always tell them to not forget this moment, to never forget this experience that you have with God. Because of that power of that testimony, that power of knowing that He is with you and the peace that you have inside of you. Because God will always be there for you. God will always have a plan and a purpose for you. But it's easy to remember all the fun things that happen at youth group, all the fun things that happen at church, all of the music that's played. But it's hard to always remember the experience that you felt during that time. So I always tell them, remember this peace that's inside of you. Remember that you had no cares for like a solid hour, and you were just focused on your relationship with God, because that's what ultimately God wants for you. So not worry about anything else and just focus on Him. And so, I don't know, as you guys leave and as we go into our daily lives and as we go to work or wherever it is, what is that moment for you? What was that moment for you with God that God wants you to remember, where you just had that peace and you had that calm and you knew that He was taking care of you? Because God gives you those moments to encourage you to take that next step forward. And if you haven't had that, then that's where your relationship can continue to grow into. And so if you, during this time of worship, during this time of ministry, if something sparked inside of you where you just kind of want prayer over those moments in your life, you want prayer over the people around you, to where you begin to see that as a different perspective and as an opportunity, not as an interruption, leaders will be up here to just pray over you for that, and to just kind of help you have that centeredness inside of you, that God is the main focus. God is the one that's giving you the perspective. So I'm going to go ahead and pray. And yeah.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to hear more of our messages or find more information on who we are, you can find us at TiptonCalvaryFoursquare.com or on Facebook. Just search Tipton Calvary Foursquare Church. Thank you again for listening and have a good day.